right, page 3 here. Your notes. Excuse me. Back to Moses. He illustrates the principle that when it says not many mighty are called according to the flesh, that means not because God has it in for people in high positions. It means that typically people from these higher levels of power, wealth, and IQ do not get on board with the plan of God. That's in Corinthians. It's because in their genetic grid and the other things, as far as I can tell, they're way too impressed with this stuff. They imagine that these things makes them special. And they do not tend from their ranks. Of course, their ranks are fewer than the ranks of the general masses, obviously. But proportionally, they don't tend to come out and even become believers. It isn't because it is. It's just the way it is. So people that are born into it, not many noble, that's birth thing, according to the flesh, the high IQ types, don't be fooled by high IQ, doesn't mean a thing with regard to, because there's a sin nature connected to it, that these people are going to arrive at the truth about a lot of things. They have their own agenda. They just have a high IQ to wow people with. These people don't tend to come to faith, but we do have some wonderful exceptions, and I'm sure there are others we don't know about in history who have come out of their ranks and embraced, first of all, salvation and maybe beyond. Certainly we have in our Bible right off the bat, we have Moses, because he was conditioned and raised in it. Even though he was an outsider, he was enmeshed in it from the nursery. And then we have Nebuchadnezzar. Now, he's a pretty outstanding individual with regard to positive volition on a person that was on top of the world. Also, the other thing to keep in mind is, if you aspire to what Moses aspired to, looking to the reward for positive volition to the end and overcoming all the things you have to overcome, then you recognize from his example, while what you may have turned away from, rather than be called, refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, this would be anything that a believer sacrifices that is counterproductive to being in a local church today. It's not as glamorous, but it still is as effective. The idea of putting the truth ahead of people, opportunities, and things of this nature. Communicators in point 10 who prepare believers for the Lord's return are promised stewardship over the Lord's possession. Just that phrase from Luke 12, 42 through 44. There are verses in Jesus' teaching that's dealing with a category of a slave who is a steward who has authority over other slaves in a large household. The steward or slave who is given authority over the household and so forth is analogous to the communicator who is responsible for the local church. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Now, that's very intriguing on how this gets worked out in terms of the faithful communicator in time. Testing is the basis for SG3. We all know that. The background to 1 Peter is that the believers there in those Roman areas of today, modern Turkey, these believers were under the gun, the disapprobation of society at large, various persecutions. He says, in this you greatly rejoice. Well, that might be a hard one to swallow. In this you greatly rejoice. These people are on your case. Even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, that the proof or evidence of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, if you're under testing for your faith, getting opposition from whatever source, bear up under it. Just see your way through it. It'll come and it'll go. Anybody that's trying to manipulate you spiritually in any way, whether they are giving you a lot of direct pressure, threats, or they're just trying to manipulate you and move you in another orbit. You're being tested by fire. May be found to result in praise, glory, and honor. Praise, you know what that is? Glory, external aura and glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Bema Seat. Persecution, again, for the faith results in SG3. Just areas where you can get SG3. Again, you have to be willing to feel that, handle it. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to recognize you're being persecuted for your adherence to the truth. And if you are, you're in a good place. I mean, if people are going to mistreat you, and it's because you're positive and growing, or going to Maranatha Church, or however they want to put it, you're okay. Don't worry about it. You have Matthew 10. If you're persecuted, it comes from family, it comes from people, different situations, in a job environment, in your life in school. And you don't have to go around being collaring people about stuff. You just have to live the Christian life and not play all the STA games that are around you. You're not into it. They will notice that. But you're not like them. You're not into the politics of high school. God help us. You know, this is stupid stuff. But then they carry it over after that into adult life. And all this going on. They will see that you're not playing these games. You're different. You will be noticed by your actions. What you don't do... So, persecution. Look, I've been persecuted by Christians, by believers, not so much by unbelievers. Mine, basically, if you took all the flack from believers, I couldn't talk too much about personal persecution. There are some exceptions. There are a few exceptions. I got flack from my family when I stepped on board just to be a Christian and a fun day church, and was all enthusiastic, and I'm all wrapped up in this. The persecution wasn't kicked out of the house, wasn't denied that I could go there. It was more of a, you know, you're wasting your time. And things like that. But I got past it, and I got left alone finally. They accepted it. So that flares up. You can go to 1,000 churches, no one will bother you. You start lining up with the truth and saying, this is right, because you're going to be asked from time to time. You're going to be in a situation where you can't just escape it. I'd rather not talk about that. It'll just get you all worked up. You ask me, I owe you an explanation about what I think about so-and-so. And, of course, that opens the door to persecution, potentially. Because there's a lot of topics that can really stir people up. Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Now that qualifies it. God's righteousness. Anything in the Bible that is sponsored by God is based on His character of righteousness, the watchdog of His essence. And so, blessed, the Beatitudes, blessed are you, those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The implication is they've got a high position in the kingdom coming. They got all this down here. So again, here we have what happens in time and faith resting that God is going to take care of that in the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. This is an area where you are really ringing up big SG3. When you're taking it and you're being persecuted for a belief. Your reward in heaven is great. And then to help you to understand, the prophets of old, they didn't have easy street. They had to step out with a very unpopular message in a nation that was spinning into reversionism, and to step out into the streets and the street corners and wherever they position themselves and present, thus saith the Lord. That's what they had to do. And people don't like to hear that. Frankly, we don't have to go out in the streets and stir people up. But we do, he says, so you have as your frame of reference. In the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. All right. Health testing. We seem to have a good amount of that going on in our church. People dealing with health. Now, this runs the gamut from minor stuff on up. Just aging. Suffering the ill effects of the aging gene. That eventually catches up with us. There's all other types of things. And it's good to know that this is not, can work for your good in terms of SG3. 2 Corinthians 4:17. I know it's talking about your body and things because the outer man. The outer man is what we see. Based on gender, age, and other factors. That's the outer man. The inner man, or the real you, is the soul. This is a house. It may not be in a very good shape, it may be in great shape. Wherever it is, it's your outer man. Therefore, we do not lose heart. That becomes being demoralized. Now, you have to work at this. You can become demoralized about your aches and pains and your various physical things that are upon you. But though our outer man is decaying, now that goes right to the aging gene. The outer man is decaying. Now obviously, in the early years, it doesn't kick in until later. It really begins to kick in later on. And it takes its toll at different rates by different people. There's a variety of factors involved. People's habits and other factors. Anyway, just to state that the outer man is decaying. It's like a house that eventually the entropy catches up with it. See a crack in the wall? Now you can fix it. You can go in and repair it, replace this, and various things. And it's nice that we have some of the, and all the bad things that science does, it is good today that we have certain technologies that can put a new knee on you. But you can't generate one by yourself. Can't will one to exist. I've seen some very interesting stuff. I was talking to Ken Reed, and he has two people in his church. One was he is military, maybe sniper, maybe some military guy in his church who had an issue with a younger fellow, had an issue with his shoulder. And another fellow had an issue with a bone problem in one of his feet. And they went to a stem cell clinic and took stem cell injections. And they're doing great. I read this also that one big quarterback, the former quarterback for the Broncos, he went to Europe because they couldn't do it here at the time. And he got, because he got his neck all messed up. And his career was done, as long as his life. And he went to Europe and got stem cell injections into the neck area, and he had his best season the next year, and then he retired. But anyway, so there's a bunch of research being done on stem cell therapy, where they inject this into your body. Your body does not produce, as you get older, as many stem cells as it did earlier. It starts tapering off. And stem cells are the paramedics that go to places and fix things in your body. And if you can up their level, it can affect any part of your body from your brain on down. I just thought you might be able to hear anything about it. It's interesting. I don't know if they have any. They have another place, Brenda was telling me, where you can have some kind of a stem cell thing you can go through. It costs $4,000. Be pretty cheap if it works on certain things. It's just interesting to find out. There are some of these things, some of these researches, some of this research that's being done that is bona fide. But anyway, so I pray for you who are sick and have health issues. You need to be praying. If there's something out there that isn't going to make you worse than you are and give you all kinds of hell because you're on these meds, that, you know, you see the ads on TV. I have to tell you. You can't make that crap up. I'd like the little House of Horrors. Take this for this, but you may have diarrhea, internal bleeding, blah, blah, blah. Check with your doctor to see if this toxin is right for you. So I suggest you pray about this, you know, and pray about your health situation. Now, that's up to you. So, I'm just trying to help my flock, kind of give them a heads up. There's some interesting things out there. You can do your own research on it. I'm not a doctor up here telling you what to do. I'm just telling you, be smart. Try to be smart and do some research. If you just want to fall in with everything they tell you, then you're at their mercy. The good, the bad, and the ugly. There is good, there's a lot of bad, and there's a lot of ugly. Just because it's in the name of science, again, you ought to know that that isn't the case. History ought to tell you the history of science. They've had all kinds of crazy stuff that they thought was really good. Now it's no good. There's same things going on today. So, you know, with regard to your health, recognize certain factors. Okay, to the extent I'm in fellowship and I acclimate to this, yes, we all get out of fellowship by something, but we realize we can't maintain that mentality about this. Get yourself in fellowship. Work your way through your health test. It may be ongoing and chronic to the end. It may, whatever. That is between you and God and figuring out what you need to do. You know that one thing is that you are building an eternal weight of glory. As it says here in this verse, this is all going to hit us at the Bema seat. You're suffering. It isn't any fun. I know that. I can't say. So I'm not the epitome. I've never had anything wrong. So I can't. I can talk from experience and being before you, sick as a dog. I can be there. And as far as I can tell, my biggest health test, the one that started in 14 into 15, I passed that with flying colors. Call it boasting. I don't care. I passed that with flying colors. I stayed out of fear. I stayed out of all these things. And God took care of it for me. And I came out, in my case, on the other side of it, better than before. That was just the way it was for me. I'm not saying that I'm judging you because yours isn't going away. I'm not. I don't even need to go there. That's your priesthood. Please understand that. So our even though our outer man is decaying, we still have this thing, and tons of research is being done on how to deal with this aging gene. Not just to identify it and recognize it exists. Lots are being done in genetics. Now, obviously, it can be used for evil and a lot of stuff. I understand. But the stem cell thing is interesting. It's real interesting. They got an injection straight into his shoulder, and it's okay now. That beats surgery. That beats a bunch of other stuff. So, but if you want to do surgery, that's your thing. You know, pray about it. Let God take care of it. Some of them are successful. There's some that aren't. You got to get the right doctor, and you got to be in fellowship, and you got to pray about it. I mean, basic stuff. If you have to go that route. But though our outer man is decaying, now, yet this. So here is your. This is the mental counseling for the believer under health tests. Even though it is decaying, and this would include sickness in general, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Now that is, he's talking to believers that are continuing to expose themselves and have that inner renewal with the intake of doctrine. You're being renewed. Renewed. You come to Bible class, you're being renewed. You're away for 2 weeks. You can see what an extended period of time might do to you spiritually if you don't have this renewal. It's like other things. If you don't get what your body needs to fix and repair itself, if you don't get the appropriate amount of rest and things, it takes a toll on your body. Period. Many illnesses and things are a result of abuse. Abuse of food, wrong food. Body needs the right things to fix itself. And just because the FDA owned. The Fear and Drug Administration. Just because they approved it doesn't mean anything. They are so in bed with the big pharmaceutical thing, it isn't funny. So, you know, if somebody had to come up with a system, if Satan had to sit down and write out a system to make people sick, well, he did it. And it's a system, like I said, those commercials on TV. With a straight face, they tell me this stuff. And I've had testimonials from individuals in my church. I took that med. Oh my God. It was the worst thing. I was just sicker than a dog. I flushed it. You know, because a lot of this stuff really is poison. You got to pray about things and recognize that there are other ways to go. But that's your business. And I'm not going to judge you. You want to do whatever you're going to do, do. It's just an aside here. I'm not trying to lord it over you and tell you, but I'd tell you what I would do. I'd do some research. We've had people, I had a condition. The med was as painful as the condition. I did some research. I found something, and it was taken care of in a short order. Well, I think I'd try that. It simply wasn't going to be harmful, and it isn't expensive. Things to know. There's a war going on. There's a war going on against bad medicine. It's rising. You can't continue to sustain this indefinitely. And there are doctors that have jumped ship. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. There's another plug for SJ3. Far beyond all comparison is what can you compare the eternal weight of glory to something in the temporal realm. While we look at the things, look not at the things, left out an important word, while we look not at the things which are seen, I look at the things which are seen. I look at them all the time. I see them all the time. Things that appeal to me, I see them. He isn't talking about you can't be exposed to things. It's just that we have a different, or should, different attitude towards these things. Now, this is a difficult one to explain. You see a nice car. You'd like to have a model like that. It's within your budget. You're looking at something you see. Okay? Now, we teach that you pray about it and that God shows you the way rather than just jumping out there. And if it's God for you to have that, that's fine. So, the things that are seen is to be absorbed with, and this is the preoccupation and the end-all and be-all of human existence, the acquisition of things, experiences, and things of this nature at the expense of one's Christian life. but at the things which are not seen. How do we see what can't be seen? See, it seems like all this is weird. You see it with the eyes of your soul. Oh, I've been enlightened in the inner man to the reality of SG3. Now I see that. For the things which are seen, that nice car, are temporal. Junkyards are full of them. They were real nice cars at one time. Those things are temporal. Everything on the earth is temporal and is subject to the coming wrath of God and all the kind of things that can happen to temporal things. But the things which are not seen are eternal. That basically says it all. You know, our present sufferings cannot be compared to phase 3 and SG3. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time. Now this is a consideration. This is someone who has looked at these things. Again, you can get out of fellowship over it, get upset. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So take a believer who has suffered a lot, like Paul. Put it over against his SG3, and it's night and day. It's like a pinprick on your finger for $1 million. Everybody would have their fingers stuck out. They'd be in line. Do all 10 of them. So that's how crazy people are about money. This is not to be compared to SG3. So that's encouraging. And that your sufferings are not to be compared to it. Peter's fourfold description of SG3, Roman numeral 12. An inheritance. That's a way to look at it. People know what an inheritance is. Maybe you have been the beneficiary of an inheritance from say, parents, typically. An inheritance which is imperishable. These inheritances down here can perish, obviously, for any number of things. And undefiled. The undefiled one means that this inheritance cannot be corrupted. That's a little harder one to explain. Undefiled inheritance. How is it defiled? Any number of things can compromise it. The behavior of the individual with the inheritance is what I think. They take it and go crazy with it, and it's defiled. They don't use it and administer it properly. And unfading. It doesn't fade away with the passage of time. Guarded in heaven for you. Your account, again, in heaven. Your SG3 account. Now, how God works all that out in a resurrection body, you have to go to somebody else. I can't explain that to you. It's just, you just don't worry about that part. About the mechanics of it. The nature of it. And how you're going to pack so much SG3 off at the Bema seat. Do you have to have somebody help you? What is it? Is it just something that you get that opens the door? I don't know. And you don't either. But we, by faith, realize God can't lie. And the same faith we put in the doctrine of how we're saved, we put into this. Surpassing joy and exultation awaits those who receive full SG3 at the Bema, 1 Peter 4:13. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, same theme that Paul had back there in that Romans verse at 11:11c, same doctrine. To the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. Not just, with very demonstrative celebration. He's going to let those of us that finish it up in good order, He's going to let us really go nuts, go crazy in our celebration at the Bema. We're not doing it to put anyone else down. We're doing it because we're just thrilled. Like people do in the world when something big happens in their favor. They, And some people, it doesn't have to be very much, and they're just flipping out. They're going, really? Jude 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. You say, well, the thing I worry about is that I'm going to fall. He's able to keep you from stumbling. You've got to do your part. And to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. Blameless. What's that mean? You're not going to be tagged with anything. You finished your course. You finished it. It's not about, did you do everything perfect? Do you have any big sins or any failures? No, that's not it. That's not the game we're in. The game is, provides for reversion recovery, provides for restoration from carnality. It provides all of this. It's all part of this package. You just have to tap into it. Shame awaits those who fail to attain full SG3. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him. That means stay in fellowship. Maintain the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. A reversionist doesn't maintain the filling of the Holy Spirit. Someone going off, they don't. Abide in him. That is second adjustment. So that when he appears, we may have confidence. How would you know to have confidence when he appears? Before it's revealed what you're going to get or not get. How would you have confidence? You're without a sin nature, got all the realm of doctrine, you know what you did in time, the Holy Spirit's with you, you have confidence. And not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. The legacy of 99 point whatever it is percent of the church is going to shrink back. They're going to shrink back and change. God is intimidated by numbers. If a few, and it will be a few as compared to the many. It'll be a very few. Well, look at all the Christians on the earth today. Look at all of them in this country, this state, and this world. They're not interested in this. That's not what's going on in their church. I don't have to tell you that. If it is, it's sure hidden from me. They don't talk the same language, emphasize the same things. It's a form of godliness. It's a show. It's this, it's that. It has nothing to do with sound doctrine, per se. So, there you are. Two essential ingredients for believers to earn SG3 are being in fellowship and the function of GAP. I've read this so many times. John 5, 15 through 8. Also, I'm close right here to Hebrews 6, so I'll just look at it real quick. This basically is saying, verse 7. Now you got to know what's going on. Read the Bible. I don't know what that means. He's using agricultural about the plant world. He moves into this. For the ground, soil, that drinks the rain, which often falls on it. Two essential ingredients. You've got dirt, soil. That's where all the nutriments and everything are supposed to be. But this all has to be activated regarding the seed that's there with regard to falling rain, a water source. So what are the two analogies? The soil is volition. I want the rain. I want this falling on me. This is the kind of good soil that wants the rain. The rain is the Word of God falling down. What is the end result of this? Production of plants. Fruits and vegetables and whatever that are useful. Brings forth vegetation, useful to those for whose sake it is also tilled. Receives a blessing from God. Divine good production. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it's worthless. This is human good. These are believers that aren't connected with the truth. Thorns and thistles is their legacy. It's worthless and close to being cursed, sent unto death, and it ends up being burned. Judgment of their divine human good at the Bema seat. All this activity in Christendom, all this running around, doing all this stuff, it's all going to be burned. But if it yields, what is it? antecedent, what is, but if it yields, what is it? The soil. The volition. If the volition yields weeds, non-useful plants, that's what the volition is producing. This is the human good. A ton of it went on over the holidays. I mean, it was just sickening. All the TV programs, you know, I don't watch that much, but they did this for this, and they did this, and this is great, and somebody got this kid some toys, and blah, 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 blah. And churches were all into it. So it's all a bunch of human good. This isn't sponsored from doctrine. This isn't about being in fellowship and helping a needy believer. It's about a bunch of human feel-good stuff. People love human good. Weeds and thistles. It will be burned. This is consistent with what we've seen elsewhere. We should be preoccupied with the accumulation of SG3. Again, we looked at that verse. We won't reread it. We'll conclude with Colossians 3:3. Set your mind on the things above. This you've got to do. I've got to do. You've got to think about, just like a human in the human realm sets their mind on, say, the accumulation of capital wealth. They're thinking about that. They're planning that. They're laying, mapping it all out so that they can at the end of the fiscal year and have made however much money. Set your mind on the things above. That's your fixation. I'm not going to let that be wrecked. Not on the things on earth. And finally, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Whatever it is God calls on you to do, all the things that would be work of the Lord. Knowing that your toil, your labor, is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, bless us. And may these words and what is taught today continue to bear SG3, in Christ's name. Amen.